Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 1.
2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, as your church. And Lord, we pray and ask you for your blessing, for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. And Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. May you be honored and glorified. And again, Lord, that you might make us the witnesses that you've called us to be, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is False Teachers Among You. False Teachers Among You. We can also call this a word of warning. And so the Bible tells us here that they're going to come in among us. And so this is something that we need to be concerned about. And also give attention to. So in a nutshell, God does not wink at sin. Do you believe that? Not even if it comes from within. He does not wink at sin, and he takes sin very, very seriously. And so should we. And by the way, let me just call your attention over here to chapter 3, verse 3, because this reveals the significance, really, of God's word to us in our generation. So look at chapter 3 right there in the same book, 2 Peter. And in verse 3 says this, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." And so we believe we're in the last days. Now, listen, more so than ever before, we are in the last days. And so we really want to take special attention and note of what God is saying here. We do want to be aware of this. But we don't really need to be concerned about the tares that are among the wheat. God said, let them both grow together, because he does not want to pluck up the wheat by accident, right? We never know what people will do when they hear the gospel, that they won't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we leave the judgment up before the Lord, but we are to be concerned and watchful and aware of what is happening even in front of us, right? We want to pay attention, especially to the church of God. We do want to protect her. We do want to guard, and the church is the people we look at in the mirror, right, every day. And so we want to guard our hearts and draw near to the Lord so that we won't get caught up in any deception or any, deception and evil workings of the devil, right, that would cause our hearts to fall away from the Lord. So let's consider four quick thoughts tonight. I think we can squeeze all these in here. And that is going to be the work of false prophets. And then we're going to see God's judgment on sin. And then we're going to take a quick look at the presumption of false prophets. And then lastly, the false prophets' false liberty. They think they have liberty, but it's not a true liberty, but actually bondage is what they're wrapped up in. You can never find freedom apart from God. You will never have freedom apart from the Lord. The devil will promise you that. You'll never have it. You'll never have it. So many people ruin their lives. They thought, if I just go after this, I know it's a sin. I know God says it's wrong, but it'll bring me pleasure just for a moment, maybe. And then it's going to wreck your life. And so you don't want to buy the lie of the devil and this world. So let's consider, first of all, the work of false prophets. Look at verse 1 with me. "But there were false prophets also among the people." And he's referring back to the Old Testament. This is not anything new. This is something that has happened from the very beginning. And then not only that, but he says this, "even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto themselves" what? Swift destruction. Not long in coming, but very, very quickly. And so this is what's going to happen to them. And so we want to be careful that we don't fall into their camp, because it's going to come in among us. And we want to be aware of that. Then notice verse 2. "And many shall follow." That's a sad declaration there. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." There's going to be people that are going to come in. They're already in our society today. that speak evil of the Word of God. They profess to be preachers of the Word of God, and yet they're leading a following that's falling away from the truth of God's Word. And we don't want to fall away. Verse 3, it says, "And through covetousness," this tells you their attitude, "through covetousness shall they with feigned words," listen, "make merchandise of you." They'll make merchandise of you. They'll see you as an asset or a benefit instead of pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ for a personal relationship. They'll see you either as an asset or as something that is not going to benefit them. And so be careful about that. We don't want to fall into people that say, listen, believe it or not, people say all kinds of crazy things. If you're really right with God, then you're winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. I've seen it happen. I have spoken to an individual about eternal life. And they did not. And then I asked them afterwards, what would happen if you were to die now? I mean, they said the prayer and everything. And they would say, well, I really don't know. Is that person saved? Listen. And then people say, oh, no, they got saved. And we'll go ahead and baptize them and make them part of the church. What for? What for? You know, are you just trying to, you know, chalk off brownie points? Because that person told me they didn't know. That's concerning. That's alarming. I've also seen people that I've been involved with at bus ministry, and this little girl got saved. She trusted the Lord as her Savior, and the bus worker, and this was a big church, and the bus worker was an avid soul winner, supposedly an avid soul winner. And saying that, in fact, she won the most souls that year. How do you know? How do you really know that? We can get off into all kind of crazy things, can't we? And so, long story short, she got saved, and she said, but Brother Jane Chill, she said, my mom said I couldn't get baptized because I had already done it before, and I, out of respect for her mother. Good and well. We will go talk to her. And so I thought I was doing a good thing because this little girl rode the bus of this lady. And I told her, I said, you know, this little girl got saved. You know, she trusted the Lord as her Savior. Oh, great. We'll get her baptized. And I said, oh, no. I said, we've got to go speak to her mom because her mother told her that she couldn't get baptized. Oh, okay. That's what she told me now. Now, we had a 3 o'clock in the afternoon Sunday school class. I don't know how many 5th and 6th graders we had, probably about 20, 25. It was a pretty good group. And anyway, my wife and I worked it, and I got into my car. She was getting ready to go home. Well, they did baptizing after the end of the Sunday school class, right? It was like a little junior church type of thing, but they had so many kids, they had to do it in different classes. This was back in the late 90s. And so, I don't know, I just decided to drive by the bus she rode. And I drove by the bus and I saw her, and there she was with a wet head. I was not very happy. And so, next Sunday comes, and I said, so, I don't remember her name now, but I called her by name, and I said, so what happened last Sunday? She said, Miss So-and-so lied to me. She told me, she talked to my mother, and she said it would be all right if I got baptized. Now, you tell me what's that spirit. You tell me what is that all about? See, if we're not careful, you know, we think people that are doing this and doing that, you can do some things and not be right with God. Is that not the truth? Just because you do certain things, that's why if you look at the focus of the New Testament, it tells you to guard against the flesh, to guard against the world, and not to serve the Lord in the strength of the flesh. Well, I dare say, correct me if I'm wrong, to lie, that's not of God. So it can only be of the flesh. So she felt it. She felt it was her place to lie to this little girl. How do you walk away with that? What do you think that girl thought about Christian workers now? And so what a poor testimony. So the greatest thing that you and I could ever do was have a heart for God and speak the truth and do what is right in the eyes of God and not just to see what benefits me so I can get another brownie point, you know, or so that we can say, feel good. Look, we can have all the ministries, and I'm not against ministry. Do you think, you not think I want to see people saved? Absolutely I do. But here's the thing, more important than even that is our personal walk with the Lord. Because if our personal walk with the Lord is not right, is he going to bless a dirty vessel? No, he won't. So listen, it's important for us to be upright before the Lord in our own personal life, and then God will lead us in all of that. Do you remember? Listen, the church was seeking the Lord, and then they said, and then the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas." Right? I'm going to send them out now, but because you were seeking me, now I'm going to send you out. So the first thing that I think ought to be right, and not leaving anything else out concerning reaching out to the world, is the first thing, our personal walk and relationship with God. And so we need to be careful, because there are going to be people that are going to teach these things, and people are going to follow them. And there, and here's the kind of teaching to say, unless you're winning 10 families that tithe, you're not an asset to the church, you're a liability. What is that? What are they looking for? And so, listen, what's important is that we do the right thing God's way. And that we are led by the Spirit of God and not get caught up in what we should be doing or what we think we should be doing and leave out our personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't want to get caught up in the hoopla. It's easy to get caught up. They call them a campaign. You know, we're going to the campaign for this year, and we're going to reach this many souls. Well, I thought that it was the Lord that built the church. But I want you to know, it's easy to get caught up in, because you got a heart for God. You want to see people saved. And yet, if you're not careful, we veer away from the Word of God. You know, the Lord said, "You can do what without me?" But we can do some things without the Lord. We can do a lot of things without the Lord that won't glorify him. And we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in those things. All right? So notice again, verse 3. "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Wow. That's pretty powerful. Now let me ask you a question. Is Peter talking to true believers? Yes, he is. And he's saying, they're going to be among you. Be careful and watch out. "For if God spared not," and now we move into God's judgment on sin, "for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Now, I just want to stop there just for a moment. And I want you to think about God's judgment on sin. Here's what the lost world knows. Ready? Here's the lost world's argument. They can live like they want to live. They can go against the Word of God. And they say, "Oh, but God's a forgiving God." You ever heard that? God's a forgiving God. Oh, he is. And he's merciful too. But I want you to know, he hates sin. How much does he hate sin? How much does he hate sin? He hates sin so much that he allowed his son to go on the cross, and he judged the sin of the world. If he didn't let his own son get by with it, right? And he didn't sin, the sin of the world was placed on him for our benefit. He didn't sin, but for our sins, it cost the life and blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're gonna tell me that people are going to say, "Well, he's a forgiving..." Oh, yes, he is. But listen, repentance first. What is repentance? I'm wrong. I'm not just going to continue living this way and excusing myself because God's a forgiving God. And he's merciful. He's not going to judge me. Oh, yes, he is. The Bible says that judgment begins where? In the house of God. In the house of God. What else can you tell me about how God feels about sin? Well, we just saw the flood. He had it up to here, we would say, right? With the sin of the world. And he wiped it all out and started over with Noah and his family. I dare say that he's not going to forget and forgive unrepented sin. He's not going to do it. And so people today use that as an excuse. Well, after all, you know, people say love is love. No, it's not. No, there's only one love, and you find it in the Bible. Because he talked about husbands loving your wives. So there's a problem now, because that means husbands love your wives. That means there's only one husband and one wife in that relationship, and that's the only way it works. And wives, submit to your husbands. So that tells us there's one wife and one husband. And if you change any of that, don't call it love, not by God's standard, by any means. It's a perversion. Amen. And it's an abomination. And this old world may sing its tune, but it's going to give an account one day for it. May you and I not get swept away and caught up with that kind of garbage that's going on in the world. May we stand firm. Because listen, do you know how they used to, I don't know if they do this anymore. The people that can detect counterfeit bills. What do you think they put in front of them? Do you think they put a pink dollar bill with an elephant on it? No. They let them handle the real thing all day long, all day long. They study the real thing, the real genuine article. They become so familiar with that that when a counterfeit comes up, it sticks out like a sore thumb. And so that ought to be the heart and mindset of us, God's people, to be so acquainted with the truth that right away we will detect an error or a lie or a deception that might come our way. Because listen, it's going to come into the church. Praise God, I don't see it today, but we don't know what happens tomorrow. And they come in kind of under the radar, and they kind of blend in and fit in, and then all of a sudden they start preaching another gospel that we don't want to get caught up in. All right? So notice what he says here about Noah, verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Listen, God does not forgive the ungodly. We must have the righteousness of Christ, or we're lost. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making an ensample unto those that should live ungodly. And so what kind of lifestyle is the Sodom and Gomorrah? It's ungodly, according to the word of God. Now, do we hate these people? No. No, we want them to be saved, but they will never be saved unless we tell them the path you're on is on the path of destruction. But you are, what do they say today? You're racist. That's what they say today. What does that got to do with racism? What does that got to do with racism? That has nothing to do with racism. That has everything to do with a perversion. That has everything to do with sin. And we got to be, listen, do you think we might receive some flack for standing up for the truth? Of course. God told us, if you stand for me, if you follow me, they're going to persecute you but does that, listen, what's more important to us? Our eternal destiny as we stand before the Lord forever, or this world that's just passing by? God will give us the grace to stand for the truth. And I'm not going to tiptoe through the tulips. Amen. I want to stand on the rock and not be dissuaded one way or the other. It's important. How important is it? God overthrew the world for Noah. God overthrew, because of his righteousness, God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And notice what he did in verse 7, delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was vexed by it, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Isn't that bad? He was corrupted by it. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Do you know that all of those who live a wicked lifestyle are unjust before God? And so we must tell them, listen, yes, God is a forgiving God, but not to those who are unjust and walk unjustly and relish in injustice. That's not the way it works. God is going to judge those who are unjust. And we don't say one thing and live another way. If we are born from above, then by God, you know, the life of Christ has been given to us. The righteousness of Christ has been given to us, and we should not walk in the ways of sinfulness in the world. So when we consider this, look at the presumption of false prophets. Look at verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak of evil dignities. Notice this, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Do you remember the summer of love when they were burning down? Was it Washington or Oregon? I can't remember. They renamed the city. They burned it down. I would dare say they have no respect for authority, wouldn't you? No respect for government. That's anarchy. Listen, that's against God. You know why? Because God's the one that set up the government. And you know what? Regardless of the power, God has told us to have respect for it. And we ought to respect it. Regardless, we ought to respect it. God is the one that's in control, and we trust him for that. Notice he says, verse 12, but these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. All these people that even if they get a momentum behind them and they champion that, feel sorry for them. They are running headlong to the judgment throne of God. And they will pay the price one day. And we don't wish that upon them. We want them to repent and receive eternal life as we did, because we were unworthy as well. God saved us because of his grace. But may we not soft shoe, amen? Not be too careful for them, but be kind in love and bold and tell them the truth. You are going to destroy your life. This is what you think, and God is bigger than what we think, is he not? God's ways are not our ways. You and me can join hand in hand, and yet the Bible says our sin will not go unpunished. We can say this is okay, and it won't be okay. Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots, listen to this, they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. He's talking to the church. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. Beguiling, notice what they, listen, they can't cease from sin. Do you know what the Bible tells us because of the Holy Spirit? We don't have to yield to sin. We can yield ourselves to the Lord and stand upright. And so listen, if that's not happening in our lives, there's a problem that we need to bring before the Lord to fix and to take care of. He's already given it. He's already indwelt us with the Holy Spirit. So Lord, you know, I believe that, is there anything too hard for God? That you've given me a new life, and my life is found in Christ. And so this day, whatever it is, you have overcome it for me. And I'm going to walk in that truth. And watch what God will do. And don't forget, you won't forget. At the end of the day, when he does it, praise God, amen, for his deliverance. Praise God. Again, verse 14, very quickly, having eyes full of adultery that that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, plural, cursed children, man, if they're not cursing their children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam. He's the one that was paid off for the buck. He went against God for the dollar. The son of Boser, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, he liked the benefit of it, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. I mean, you've gone mad, is what he's saying. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Man, I want to stay away from them. I'll tell them the truth, but I want no company. Listen, save it. Tell that to somebody else. I'm not going to hear it. If you're going to speak against the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to live in adultery, if you're going to go ahead and condone what God has condemned, keep it. Keep it. All right, lastly, false prophets, false liberty they think they have, but really it's bondage. Look verse, we're going to drop down to verse 19. While they promise themselves liberty, they themselves are the servants of what? For of whom A man is overcome the same as he brought in bondage. Let us not yield to sin. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. That's God's word. Listen, I'm on the Lord's side. How about you? Amen? Let's be on God's side. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Let's not be like that. Oh God, listen, that's our hope. I want to remind you again very quickly. God is not trying to strengthen us. No. He's trying to make us weak so that we'll be dependent upon Him. See, all these trials, all these frustrations, all these things, he's working on us to surrender to Him and to call upon Him and say, God, I need You to live Your life through me. God, I want You. Lord, I am presenting myself to You that You might use me as You will. Because tell me, what on earth is there worth, betraying the Lord for? What is there worth on earth selling out to more than the will of God? There's nothing. There's nothing worth having in this world that we would put God, that we would put before the Lord. Amen. And so all we have to do, let's not overthink it. All we have to do is say, oh God, I need You. Oh Lord, how I need You. Because without You, I can do what? Amen? I can't do anything that means anything, God, without You. Guide me. And you know what? Listen, we're not really to condemn. The world is condemned already. We're here to present the truth, even to those who are deceived or deceiving. Hey, listen, you guys are headed down a path that you are going to regret forever. Ever think about that? People that are, I feel sorry for them. I'm not mad with them. I am very disappointed and very sorrowful for the lives that they can destroy and the people that will follow them. But what's more important than championing more important than championing any other cause is to be right for our hearts and our souls and ourself to walk in the Spirit of God. And then all these things God will bring into our lives. And that, listen, God has promised to build the church. Who is that? Isn't that us? Lord, build us for Your honor and glory. There's work that the Lord needs to do in my life, I want you to know. There's work that He needs to do. And I'm going to give you even this little insight that I think the Lord just told me just now. Ready? There's more work to be done in me than I even know myself.
Amen.
Because we just think we know ourselves, but there is one person that knows us completely, and that's our God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne thanking You for Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, Your desire to work with us, what an amazing promise that You've never give up on us. You always hold us in Your hand. And Lord, may You give us a heart to seek after You and to call upon You to do the work You want to do in our lives, that we might truly be a royal priesthood, a holy people that would be Your witnesses that You've called us to be. Bless as we break off our prayer, and we'll give You all the praise, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.